Blog Talk Radio. Great mic.
Great.
It's still
sound the same.
Still distorted?
Yeah.
Yes.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, sound better.
Oh, all right. Amen. We want to welcome you all out to the Thursday night business meeting. I am actually reviewing the minutes from last meeting as we speak, making corrections to them, bylaws, policy. Just a second, please. Okay, Sister Mary, on section 905C,
yes.
You got amend main motion, and then you got parentheses, triple E, section 204, oh, that must be C, never mind. I can guess that one. And let me do this. So, before we can get started here, and on the minute, Sister Mary, I'm just making spelling corrections.
Okay. How is Sister Lorraine doing?
I thought she was doing better, but I haven't heard from her today, so I don't know. Yeah, I thought she was doing better. I think she had family in town. You all a copy of the corrected minute. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started here. I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Sister Denise, you here?
I would check my phone off
and leave. Okay. The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in order. We'll go ahead and do our statement of faith and then pray in, and we'll have the reading of the minutes from last week. Faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you. We lift you up and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For truly, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for all that you do and all that you're going to do. Hallelujah. I just lift you up on today, O Yah Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right, in our scripture, Psalms 133. Book of Psalms, chapter 133. Song of the Grief of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And amen. Excuse me. Now, we do have quorum, so we're going to go ahead and proceed with the business meeting because we have a majority of us here. So if Mr. Lorraine calls in or joins us, then it's all the better. I don't know if she's still working or what's going on, but if she does not call in, then we can still conduct business. All right. We will now have the reading of the minutes from the last meeting.
Our last meeting was December 15, 2022. We started at 7 p.m. and we ended at 8:42 p.m. Attendance at the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Denise, and Sister Mary. I think Sister Lorraine was still 16. Discussion of the meeting was the sale of the microgreen. Wednesday, December 14, 2022, Brother Miles had a good sales day. It was his first $100 day. Brother Miles had added red cabbages to the list of the microgreen. The business is expanding. We are still waiting to start the Grammy site. We discussed the bylaws, section 9, which is the policy. We discussed section 9.01 to 9.11. Changes was made in 1 minute. I think changes were made in 9.05, the meeting processing, and we learned about the stats, the order of participation of the speech, and we had our amendment main motion. That's 9.05. I think that's C. But it also read that section 2.4 reads the same as 9.05. 9.05L That's an amendment. 9.05 also has the motion and request. We discussed 9.05, and we all voted, and we all agreed. Uh-oh, I missed one part of 9.05. Dissensions vote. That's 9.05. D-1. That's I. This has to be revisited. 9.06, voting session. 9.07, objection. 9.07 also have an H for D. 9.08, this is a stay patch. 9.09 is the meetings and the time these change from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. was changed to 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. We all agreed. We voted and we all agreed on it. 9.10 is the committee meeting minutes. This also has a A for C. We voted, all agreed. 9.11, executive session during the board meeting. This also have an A for C. We voted on that also, and we all agreed. And now we can start session 10 and 11.
Okay.
Hello?
So I make a motion that we accept the meetings as submitted and read.
Second.
All right. Do we have a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are adopted as submitted and read. Okay, we'll go on to conduct current business for this meeting. The microgreens business continues to do well. I'm still trying to get the growing date down, when to start new crops, because it takes roughly 7 to 14 days, depending upon what the crop is, and our first subscription buyer, we will deliver to them on Monday, the 26th. We'll deliver the first, their first delivery to them. There is tomorrow. I will be going. I don't really have a crop to sell. As I said, the growing days, the crops that I have, I have something to sell, but it's going to be mainly, again, handing out flyers and advertising. Trying not to grow a whole lot of extra because whatever doesn't sell, I'm ending up having to eat or give away. I do have some to sell, more so to give away. And then the crop that is currently growing now will mainly be for delivery and for next week. That's where we're at on that. And then I'm trying to get the schedule down so that I basically have to have a mature crop every week, especially for the farmers market. But that scheduling, even though I think that I have it down pat, is proving that I don't really have it dialed in completely yet. And so I'm still working on that. So I did add the cabbages, and I have some cabbage sprouts, and I have some cabbage microgreens that are currently, the microgreens are currently growing, and I think that they will do well, the cabbage. But I'm changing out like the salad mix from the wellness mix and replacing it with cabbage. In there, the salad mix, either from the sprouts or from the microgreens is not doing as well as I had had. There, you know, this particular crop, I think I did 4 sheets of salad mix, and the wind from the fan that, you know, sort of keeps air blowing across them blew down half the plant on one half of the tray. And so I am resurrecting them. They are coming back up. But, it caused me to have to doctor on those trays. The other half of the tray, you know, the plant came up fine. They came up fine to begin with, but then when I put the fan on them, like I said, the last half of the tray sort of flattened the plant I think what it did was it dried out the core, and the plants fell down. So I watered them, and the vast majority of them stood back up. But, you know, that's a learning process. And so, but I'm not have real good success with these mixed salads, greens. So I'm actually thinking about taking them out of, you know, the production until I can dial them in completely. The broccoli, the cabbage, the peas, the sunflower seeds, the fenugreek, all those are doing fine and well, they grow well. It is the mixed salad that is causing me concern at this point. So we'll see. I should have enough for a harvest. Probably, if the way that it looks, I'll have 2 trays and a half. I need to be able to get at least 6 ounces out of those 2 trays because those are committed to order. So we'll see what happens. If not, I will have to, you know, give them some type of replacement for that. And then, starting a new crop, I really need to probably be putting those on tonight. More likely it will be tomorrow that I will get them on. So that is the update on the microgreens. I decided I was going to do more sprouts live at the farmer's market. And I'm doing that partly for marketing and publicity, where I will bring the sprouts out there and I won't package them until people buy them so that they can see them in the jars that they are. It's more so of a marketing ploy for those. I ordered 10 more jars for sprouts because I think sprouts are really going to take off. I ordered 4 gallons. These other jars are like quart size. I ordered 4 gallon size jugs that I'm going to turn into sprout jars. Because I think that I'm going to be doing that type of volume in sprouts. So that, you know, I grow the sprouts and then I sell them right out of the jar and package them right there at the farmer's market. So a little bit different approach. I want to try that and see if it increases, you know, sales. So people can come to the counter, even though I have microgreens on the counter, but they'll also see sprouts in the jar. And then we will sell them the sprouts in the jar by the ounce. And, you know, they can just buy it right there. So those are the
sprouts are going to be in a jar?
Yeah. Sprouts are, they grow in a jar. So when I bring them to market, I will probably either leave them in the jar and then just, you know, have a utensil to pull them out of the jar to make up to sell them, you know, by the ounce. Or I will bring a bowl and have it filled with water, pour the sprouts into that, and then pull them out of the water. because I get rid of extra seeds. But the whole goal is to serve them or make up the packages for the sprouts right there at the market rather than pre-making them. It's like last week, for the sprouts, you know, I went ahead and packaged them in like 1 or 2 ounce packages that I could give away. And so this time I'm not giving them away. I will have some samples or I'll give samples, but I'm going to, if somebody comes up and asks, you know, for sprouts, then I'm going to make that package up right there on the spot. And so I have broccoli, I have some, if I have broccoli, I have fenugreek, I have cabbage, and broccoli, fenugreek, cabbage. And I'm still trying to grow the mixed salad as a Brussels, as a sprout, but somehow they produce, those seeds produce some type of slime, and they are not sprouting the same way as the other seeds are, and I have not figured that out, what's going on there. I haven't found anything on the internet that says what's going on there. The seeds are starting to sprout, but they're like 3 or 4 days behind everything else, and so they wouldn't be ready, you know, for market. And until I can figure it out and see how to make them grow faster, I probably won't be, again, won't be offering mixed salad. Because I'm not having luck with them in sprouts. I'm not having real good, you know, success with them. I think I will have better success this time with the crop that I'm growing as microgreens. But that just depends how much I can recover them. So I may take them off the menu altogether. I may end up having to take them off the menu altogether. Until I can perfect them or come up with a, you know, specific seed or where there's a different combination of seeds that I can use. But yeah, they are not performing the way that I think they ought to. And so, as I said, the seeds are, when I wash them, they're still slimy. And that slime kind of covers up the hole where the air is through. So the seeds aren't getting the air that they're supposed to get. And I'm not really sure, you know, what's going on there. So that is, you know, that is that update. Trying to increase sales and do it through, I know that the sprouts, the microgreens, there are people who have made promises to buy and people who I have to still contact, and then, you know, repeat customers, you know, every market that I've gone to that we've been there more than once, you know, we got repeat people coming back looking for the microgreens, and then we get new customers. A lot of the vendors, because, you know, as I'm selling, they're hearing my sales pitch, and then I end up selling to them. So, you know, the only thing that I'm really changing is I'm going to try to grow the sprout in a larger volume than I am and sell them, you know, right at the farmer's market, package them right there rather than prepackaging them. Let's see. I think that's it for that. Any other questions?
Sir?
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. And do you guys see, let me know if you see my screen or when you have it. And you're looking at the document, right?
Yes.
Okay. That should be 9, 10.
Yes, I see your screen.
All right, amen. So we're starting Section 10, Board and Officer Operations. And we will read this, of course. First thing we're going to do is take away this adopted policy guidelines because it doesn't apply to our, didn't really apply to our, I'm going to take this data out of here. I think when we did review this in August, that we said, you know, that was the date, but I'm going to delete it and we'll use the most current date that we go through here that we adopted this. So Section 10.02, Board Guide Proposal, that the YFCC Board of Directors, BOD, officially adopt the attached YFCC Board Guide as an official document to be distributed to all new board representatives prior to or at their first board meeting. This document shall be updated annually every summer, and it shall be updated whenever a new policy or bylaw changes to leak. The board shall be required to approve any changes that result from updating other than grammatical, stylistic, or typographical changes. So if it's a substantive change, meaning that we're actually changing something or adding, then the board has to vote on that. If the secretary is just making grammatical changes or spelling, you know, changes or typographical errors, which would be, you know, spelling changes, stylistic, like we change the numbering, then those won't have to be approved because we're not changing the content. In addition, any member may propose amendments to this document at any time. Any amendment must be approved by the board. Any questions on 10.02?
No.
Okay.
Brother Miles?
Yes, ma'am.
You're deleting 10.01?
No, we're going to leave 10.01. I'm just taking the date out.
Okay.
There was a date in there. We're still going to come back, and the day that we actually adopt these policies, then we'll put that date in here, in this space right here. Okay. So there was a date in here. I deleted that date, and then we will, the day we adopt these policies, then we'll add that date back in here.
Okay.
Section 10.03, House Report. Oh, did you have any other questions for us? No. 10.03. Reps will address the 8 points under the phase one of the management concerns policy at each meeting. And we're going to have to look that up, phase one of the management concerns policy. Each meeting on the agenda, House reports will be separated from introductions and agenda changes. The intent is to have more in-depth reports for the pod. House reports should include high turnover, major losses of experienced members, 25% vacancy rate, maintenance projects not proceeding, monthly financial reports not done, missed pod payments, no board reps at two consecutive meetings, no membership process or policy in effect, no annual budget. Okay, so these are the things that whoever the House reps are, they will have to report on these things in their House report. On if there's high turnover when we get to that point, so loss of experienced members, and that may or may not be applicable, but right now it seems reasonable to me. 25% vacancy rate, so that when we start, as we are able to build pods ahead of people coming, so that we have, let's say we have a spare pod or two, if we have the money to do it, then we will have, we will want to have, you know, where the membership officer is going out trying to what, fill those vacancies with credible people, maintenance projects not proceeding. So if we have, you know, the scheduled maintenance and it's not being done, or, you know, special projects for maintenance not being done, then they would be reported here, monthly financial report not done. I'm going to say we leave this one in there for now until we tie down how the pods are going to actually report, you know, their finances, if they have finances to report. So that one can be in here loosely. We may come back and say that this is not required, but because of the way we're set up. Missed pod payment, again, because we have all things equal and in common. If somebody stops paying, then that would be where this would come in. May not even come be in the pod report. It may be done by the treasurer, whoever's receiving payment, so that if somebody, you know, they're living there, but then they stop contributing. Whether it's their, you know, security or retirement check or whatever, they just stop giving. So that would need to be addressed. No board reps at two consecutive meetings, kind of self-explanatory. No membership process or policy in effect. I'm thinking that this right here probably would be not applicable because this would fall on the membership officer, which is the vice president. So that probably would not fall on the house itself to go out and recruit people. We can talk about that. And no annual budget. Again, I can't see the budget being different for a different pod. But I would say this. We probably still would have them do some sort of budget because, you know, even if nobody's actually directly paying and coming out of a central fund, we would still have to keep track of, you know, how much electricity everybody's using because we need to know how much we need to produce and how much that would cost, how much water, food, that kind of stuff, so that we have some type of way of knowing what we're actually spending or would be spending, so that we can keep track of it. So we may, you know, we may look at it at this, and it may be, have to be modified, but I think we should leave this in here for right now. And it's policy, so I think this particular section of the policy, we would probably make it where the board or the board and the membership could change this. Because it is a policy, it's not part of the article, the bylaws. So they could change it and say, hey, well, we need an annual report or we what don't. So this will probably be one of those areas where we would leave it to the board to determine that.
Okay.
Any questions on 10-3?
No.
Okay. And four, planning and review committee purposes. Suggest goals and purposes for YFCC. This could be dynamic, or we could, you know, set goals to, you know, for membership, to increase membership by so much every year, to raise so much money every year. So this is a good thing. structured bylaws, policies, and changes. I'm going to say we put the caveat in here for this. So, where permitted by the bylaws, review structured bylaws, policy, and changes, where they are permitted to do that at. They can review those things to see if they need to change them. Like, say, for the fees, they would review that. But anything that they're not allowed to change, they would need to review it. So does that make sense?
Okay.
Plan for future detailed plans for the next year's guidelines for the next 5 years coordinated committee to appoint members of the committee as follows. Two officers or elect one former officer, two reps from affiliated pods. Okay. No problem with that. And there should be a 5-year plan, just like we have a yearly budget.
Uh-huh.
Plan, there should be a 5-year plan. And a plan is just that, a plan.
Uh-huh.
Plans are always, you know, you have things that come up, plans and what, change?
Yeah, right.
So they can come up, you know, with the plan. We'll come up with a 5-year plan, what we plan to do in the next 5 years. And then, you know, once a year or at the beginning of the year or whatever, we would review and see what we accomplished and what we didn't, where we stand at, you know, where we stand at on, you know, we plan to do X. Did we get X done? Are we still in the process of doing X? If we're still in the process, what percentage of X have we gotten done? You know, just so we can keep track and stay on the course. Okay, so, I think that that's good. For the board to plan for future detail, plan for the future detail plan for the next year's guidelines. If, you know, if let's say that we go the first year or two and then we figure out we need to change something with the guidelines, that's permitted for us to change.
Right.
Then we.
So what, you're going to change that from 5 years to just one?
No, because you got to have a 5-year plan.
Oh, okay.
Most businesses, if they are, you know, even we ourselves should be having some sort of plan of what we would like to be doing, what, 5 years from now?
Right.
And so with a business, you always want, you know, you got a budget for the current year, you got a budget for the, like all governments have a 5-year budget. That's why it's so hard for them to change things, because their budgets are done 5 years out. So anytime that they vote on something, it depends upon what year in the budget that they're in for that change to go into effect. They may not be able to, you know, they got a 5-year budget. They may not be able to make a change to the budget for 5 years. So the change that they're talking about making starting year 6. Okay, so, but, you know, we'll make a plan and a budget for 5 years, then we'll have the current year's budget. The 5-year budget should be broken down by years, year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5, which is planned to accomplish. Again, it is a plan, and so you'll have what you plan, and then you'll have what you actually did. Those can be two different things. You might plan to add 25 pods, but you only add one.
Uh-huh.
But you plan to do, so you'll have plans, and then you'll have actual. This is what we plan to do, but this is what we actually got done. So you have the plan, you have the guidelines, but then you have execution of those things, and what you actually do That's just actual. You know, we planned to do this, but, you know, we didn't know X was going to happen. We didn't know about this. We didn't know about that. So did we achieve our five-year goal? Maybe not. And so then we might have to adjust the goals in the future to be what more realistic to what we can do. So, you know, plans and guidelines, they are just that. They are plans, and the plan is just what we plan to do. The guidelines is how we plan to do it, how we're going to do it. So we have, you know, guidelines that we follow, procedures that we follow to try to achieve that goal. And then where we have to, you know, we may have to adjust the guidelines to help us meet the goal, or we might have to adjust it because it wasn't realistic. You know, we were thinking one thing and things turned out to be something different.
Okay.
So, you know, guidelines and plans are always adjustable. They're living documents. So they can change as you need them to change, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, if we need them to change, then we, you know, we get together, we vote. Well, we're experiencing X going on. How can we correct that, or what course correction do we need to take? We vote on it, then we take that, we start doing things that way to, you know, to try to help meet the goal. And then if we find that the goal is not realistic, then we say, okay, we need to adjust the goal. It was too ambitious, or maybe it wasn't ambitious enough. So those things, that, you know, that would be within the, we would leave these things to the board to decide some of the areas that they still could change. Okay. Child care. I know we talked about this in the past. We would need to provide child care where needed. I'm not really sure I remember how we discussed this, and I don't think we came to a resolution on it. Know that it has to be a ministry, because everybody's not going to leave their child with just anybody.
Right.
So let's table 10.5 until another meeting. I make a motion that we table 10.5 until another meeting. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. We will table 10.05 and we'll come back to it. A future meeting. 10.06, special project guidelines. Proposals for special projects will begin with review on the board of directors level. After the board of directors accepts a proposal for a special project, the coordinating committee further clarifies, reviews the project as it progresses, and takes care of final reimbursement when the time comes. Reports on projects in progress would be made in regular coordinating committee reports to the board of directors. The project proposals will be judged by their own value as well as whether they fit into the guidelines or not. Criteria include the value of the project to YFCC, timetable if one is appropriate, what the estimate costs are, and the ability of the individual to fulfill the project. The individual need not be a member of YFCC. Okay, so I think that's pretty much explanatory, but are there any questions on 10.06?
No.
What about with you, Sister Mary?
No.
Okay. 10.07, recommended guidelines for money allocation. Attending workshops and conferences on YFCC behalf. So this is talking about what would we consider reimbursing people for?
Like the stipend?
Like the who?
Is that how you say it, the stipend?
This is a little different. I'm not really sure. I can't see. Where somebody would pay for themselves to go to a workshop or a conference on YFCC's behalf.
Huh.
So this is mainly talking about if a member were coming out of their own pocket. But it's not even talking about that either. It's saying recommended guideline for money allocation. So where are we gonna allocate money for? You know, if we want to send somebody to attend a workshop. And that workshop is not one we're giving because, you know, we may not have the expertise. We may have to send somebody to St. Louis for something that we're doing, that we need done. We need somebody to have expertise in it. And the only place that they can get that knowledge is not in-house. Then we need to be able to account for and allow for them to attend workshops like that. So in allocating the money, it would not just be the workshop, but would they need someplace to stay? Would they need food? Would they need transportation? So then we would say, okay, we found the workshop. The workshop is going to cost us $1,500 for you to attend. Whoever's going to attend, then we would price out the hotel, we would allow so much for what, meals every day?
Mm-hmm.
And so much for transportation. Now, let's say that the workshop was in a hotel, then we could say, okay, we're going to allocate so much for hotel stay, we're going to allocate so much for food, not necessarily what it costs at the hotel, because they might not want to eat at the hotel. They might want to go out, but still they're going to have a budget. You're allowed $30 or let's say $90 a day because they're paying to eat. So we can say $90 a day, or we can say you're allowed $70 a day, whatever we think is reasonable. So they can't go out and go to the highest rent, but we're not sending them to McDonald's either.
Right.
Okay. So that's what this is talking about. So they're going to a workshop on YFCC's behalf. Then we would, you know, we would consider doing that. We would say that it's an allowable expense as long as it's approved.
Right.
Nice. Somebody can.
Yeah, okay, I get that.
Okay.
Because when I was at the Board of Education, and we used to have to go to class.
Mm-hmm.
They provide our lunch and a way for us.
Right. And, you know, and that was when you were in the same city.
Right.
You know, but we may have to send somebody out of, you know, there is no city up where we're at. And so we may have to send them to, like, a large city to attend a workshop like that.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to, you know, we would shop it out, and we would know, we would get to make the hotel arrangements. We would make, you know, pay for the workshop, make the hotel arrangements, make the transportation arrangements. And say, okay, I can see that we would either give them a card that they could use and say, okay, if you're going for 3 days, then you're allowed to spend $150 or $200 for 3 days to eat on. And that would be what your budget is. And I'm just making up a number, but that's how it would work. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Coordinating workshops and conferences being co-sponsored by YFCC. So if we hosted a conference, then we would do this. If we're co-sponsoring team up with another organization, and we're going to provide speakers or teachers or what have you, then there's still a cost there. And so if it's on premise, then the cost is less because we're providing what our own facility.
Right.
But if we have to go, you know, let's say we can't do it on premise, then we may have to rent a room, you know, some type of a conference room or whatever. So we have to allow for those. Clearly designed projects subject to a timetable. We would allocate money to those, and then we would have to have what procedures on when they would be able to get, like, you know, anytime you do any type of contract work, you know, you might have to give 50% up front for the contractor. And that's for them to buy supplies and all that kind of stuff that they need to do your job. And then at the halfway mark, you would give them 25%. And then when they finish the project, you give them the last 25%. After you say, you know, you look at everything and say everything is fine and we're going to, you know, close out the contract. So that's a clearly defined project. So we say we got a project to do X, and that project will be broken up into stages, and we would pay certain amount to that project at those different stages, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we would first approve the project, and in approving of the project, we would make sure that it's what? That everything is designed right, that it's set up right.
Right. That is workable.
Right. And then we set the timetables to it and make sure that, you know, the contractor, whoever it is, are able to meet those dates, or we adjust those dates so that where they can meet it. And then we, you know, set payment schedule based upon them meeting certain milestones. The final payment being, you know, when we're satisfied that all the work is done to our satisfaction. Okay. Reimbursing the cost of tuition for courses which bring needed information to YFCC and benefits YFCC by members' direct work of YFCC operations. And that again, sort of goes along with A, the same thing as A. So if we needed to pay for somebody to take a course to learn something that we need to have learned, it's not something that they want to personally do. But YFCC has a requirement that they have this knowledge.
Okay.
Then YFCC would pay for it because YFCC would what, benefit from it?
Right.
Okay. So whether it's a college course or, you know, a course at a local community college, or whether it was through some business that specialized in that, we would see what the cost is, and we say, okay, Sister Mary's going to attend this course, and it's going to increase her skills and proficiency at doing it, and we need that.
Right.
Then we would pay for it. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Reimbursing an individual personal financial bill which resulted from the individual taking initiative and stepping in during the YFCC crisis situation. I don't know if this applies. If we have everyone has all things equal and everybody's money is in the same pot, then if there's a crisis, you know, anything that's being paid out of the YFCC fund anyway.
Right.
So I don't know where somebody would come out of pocket. Even with the tuition, I don't know where we would reimburse, but because I don't know where they would come out of pocket first.
Right.
If we're doing things the way we say we're doing it, if all my money's going into the pot and all your money's going into the pot, then where do you get money for tuition?
All right.
You know, that's just my feeling on it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I agree with you.
All right, amen.
That's why I said thing.
Amen. For so we may change those reimbursement individual yeah, I don't think E applies. It, you know, we've already said everybody's money's in the same pot, so either we have it as a group to do it or we don't have it. So I think we would probably get rid of E. Those, you know, those situations should be taken care of by YFCC itself. And I don't, you know, again, if all their money is in the pot, then where are they getting money to, you know, to step in into emergency out of their own pocket?
Right.
And the same thing with D. I can see where we would say for here paying the cost of tuition for courses which bring needed information. I'm gonna say that you know, I'm gonna recommend that we delete E.
So we're gonna delete D and E?
No. I changed D to say paying the cost of tuition for courses.
Right.
So
we're going to delete E.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to reimburse anything because they shouldn't be coming out of their pocket.
Right.
Shouldn't even have it come out of their own pocket. Now, if it, you know, we can't tell people if, as long as they pay, you know, and we agree to what they say they're going to pay. And that's what they're going to pay. If they have more than that that they don't tell us about, then that's a whole other thing. But it would be that they are not complying with what we are. If we're all putting in all that we have and they're not, then they're not doing the same thing what we're doing.
Right.
So that would bring up a whole other set of different problems. But I'm going to recommend that we delete E from this. Because they should not be coming out of their, they shouldn't even have it to have a personal what? Financial bill?
Right.
Stepping into a crisis. It just should not exist. Okay?
Okay.
So I make a motion that we delete E. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I have it. We will delete E from this. And so F becomes E and G becomes F. Same way for alleviating unexpected expenses in an independent project where the project's completion benefits YFCC. Again, I don't think that this should happen because everything should be coming from the general fund.
Uh-huh.
And so if it's an unexpected expense, then it just needs to be brought for what, funding?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
From the council. And again, the individual shouldn't have money that they are spending because all the money should be in the general fund. So I'm going to make a motion that we delete E as well.
I second.
Okay.
I second.
All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Section E is, paragraph E is deleted. Does all projects except 3.6.35 and 3.6. I'm not really sure this paragraph applies. 3.6, the way we have things written, is in the bylaw. So let's go to 3.6.3. find that. Found it in one place. If 3.6 doesn't pertain to this, so we're going to find out what they're actually saying, you know, what it actually pertains to. In the renumbering, 3.6 doesn't pertain to this. All projects except 3.635, 3.636 need to be approved before the project is started for money to be allocated. Okay, we're going to have to table this one. But I cannot remember where we found it at, what this is in reference to, but it's in red. So I make a motion that we table 10.7F until we are 10.7, that's going to be E now. We deleted E. That we table 10.7E until we find out what it is in reference to.
A second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, have it. Okay. Yeah, because I don't remember what those were in reference to. Okay. Section 10.08. The annual YFCC retreat consists of two sessions, one formal and the other informal. So, retreat policy. The formal session covers the following topics: educational item, YFCC organizational structure and governance process. Attendees will refresh their knowledge of YFCC organizational structure and governance process. Makes sense to me. As a retreat, then you want to use that as a time to educate people who attend the retreat,
uh-huh.
The attendees, to teach them what the structure of the organization and how we govern ourselves. Educational item, board of director operations. Attendees will refresh their knowledge of how the board of directors is designed to operate. That makes sense. Overview of bylaws and policies. Attendees will refresh their knowledge of our organizational bylaws and policy. Identify organizational strengths and weaknesses. Attendees brainstorm a list of current organizational strengths and weaknesses before deciding on the top three areas that need improvement. I mean, that is a group activity. Makes sense to me. Because you need brainstorming sessions to come up with new ideas, to come up with, you know, in this case, it's talking about organizational strength. So you say, where are we strong at, and where are we weak?
Right.
And we use brainstorming activities to do that. Small group activity, draft proposals for improvement. Attendees divide into three groups, each focusing on one of the three areas that need improvement. So, I mean, four and five go together. As a large group, you brainstorm and decide what are going to be what the three areas that need improvement. And then you break into small groups to write proposals to make those improvements. Okay, and then another large group activity. Refine proposals for improvement. As a single group, attendees discuss and refine each of the proposals. Following the retreat, the proposal will be brought before the board of directors or the general membership as decision items. So that makes sense to me. You are going to first brainstorm and say, okay, what do we do good and where are we weak? And then we could actually say if we want to improve on what we're doing good, but we definitely want to say or find out ways to what improve on where we're weak.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then we break into groups, and each group, since we're saying we're going to each retreat, we're going to come up with three areas where we're either strong or weak. And then you break up into groups, and the groups write the proposals to either improve on the improvements or improve on the weaknesses, whatever it was we decide that we're going to, you know, look into. And then we come back as a large group, and we find the proposal so that they're ready to be submitted to the board upon our return. So it seems, you know, it makes sense to me. Any questions on that?
None.
Okay. C, the informal session provides an opportunity for FCC members to have fun and relax together. So whatever that session, let's see, the participation in both sessions is open to all members. Board representatives and officers are required to attend the formal session. Participation by staff members is determined by their employment contract or by the coordinating committee. We probably have to change the wording from that employment contract. I mean, we could leave it that way, but I'm thinking there's a better way to say that. General members who are parents will be reimbursed for child care expenses. Again, I think we need to table that one. Because we say participation in both sessions is open to all members, then with that last sentence, we're saying anybody that wants to come and participate in the session will pay their child care expenses, but we will provide child care. So we may need to look at that. It may be a given thing anyway, but if it's a retreat,
excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
If it's a retreat and we are off site, there's usually, when you go on a retreat, it's not where, you know, you don't usually stay at the location where you're living or whatever. So and usually you use it as some type of bonding experience. Now it's mandatory. Board representatives and officers are required to attend the formal session. So if they're required to attend the formal session, then I would say board members, board representatives and officers, if they have children, then we would pay their child care expenses if they have children. Because we're making it mandatory for them to be there.
Right.
And I'm going to say if they're the ones that have to be there, then we would pay child care expenses anyway because it's mandatory for them to be there. But anybody else who wants to be there, they're there of their own. They want to be there. So we didn't pay for their way there. I'm not sure that we would pay for their child care expenses. And then I'd have to ask myself, okay, again, if all your money's in the pot, where did you get the money to come to this retreat?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just my thinking. You know, not unless we come up again with some type of profit sharing where we give people money as part of the profit from the business so that they have, you know, some money in their own pocket to go do their own shopping and that kind of stuff. Then what they spend their money on, we really don't have, you know, we don't have a say in it because it's their money. So this is just a what if. Let's say that we made enough profit that we paid everybody $1,000. Then what they do with their $1,000, we can't really tell them what to do with it. They may want to go buy clothes. They may want to put it aside and save it for a car. If we're doing, you know, if we're saying that, you know, all profit, if we're not saying all profit goes back into YFCC, and we have some type of profit sharing, which we haven't determined yet, then they may very well have to, what, own money?
Right.
But if we say, you know, all profits just go back into the organization, into the general fund, then nobody should have, what, extra money?
Right.
And so then we may have to say, you know, if we say that everybody can participate in the retreat, then out of the general fund, we would have to pay for their how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay for their room. Then we might have to take away that stipulation because if we have 500 members and everybody wants to go, we might have to say, okay, we're going to have a retreat, but we're going to have it right here on site. So we can't afford hotel rooms like that or whatever.
Right.
So and this is coming from the child care. The general members. The everyday average everyday population. Make a note. The table. N8. D.
10.8D. Okay.
Yeah. 10.8D as in Delta. We'll table that one and come back and discuss it because we still need to we need to decide whether we're going to have what profit sharing and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that will determine you know some of these other ones that we deleted. You know, if we do profit sharing, then we may have to go back and put back in some of those paragraphs that we deleted. Because
right.
somebody may save their money and there's an emergency and they paid it out of their pocket. But it was their money.
Right.
So, yeah, I say that the table 10.8D for right now. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it. And that one I'm more. I don't think that. And I'm wanting to table that for the wording general members. Who are parents?
Yeah.
because we're not telling the general members that is what mandatory or required for them to attend.
Right.
And so if we're not requiring them to attend, then I don't see where we would need to pay their daycare.
Right.
But any officers where we're telling them, you know, they're required to attend, then, yeah, if they have children, then we're obligated to pay their daycare.
Right.
So the term general members, we have to vote whether we're going to do that, one, for general members, or do we just change this to say board representatives are all members required to attend who are parents will be reimbursed for child care expenses, or child care expenses will be what, paid? So we could change the wording to that now. We would have tabled it. My concern is right here, general members. That's the only ones we're saying board representatives and officers are required to attend.
Right.
And so then.
Right, so that was going to ask who is the general member.
Yeah, that's just the general body.
Okay.
Anybody that's a member of YFCC. So let's say. Members who are required to attend and who are parents will be reimbursed for child care expenses.
Say it again.
Members who are required to attend and who are parents will be reimbursed for child care expenses.
So instead of tabling this, we're going to change it, right?
Yeah. Because that was the only area within that I had some issue with the general members. If they're not required to attend, then they're attending because they want to attend the retreat. And if they want to attend the retreat, but it's not required, then we shouldn't be required to pay for any.
Right.
Okay. All right. A retreat coordinator appointed by the coordinating committee at least 8 weeks beforehand is responsible for planning and implementing the YFCC. I'm going to say 8 weeks is not enough. Yeah. And sometimes you need to be reserving places depending upon where you're going a year out.
You're right.
I want to change this to 1 year. Because 8 weeks is just not enough time. And if you're making, you know, if you're trying to make reservations someplace and the reservations, you got to go a year out, they're not going to be able to do that in eight weeks.
Right.
It gives them some leeway. So they may not be able to get that one, or they may make it for the year following.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, this year we're going to do it here because we can get reservations here. But I think that we need to change that to 1 year beforehand, and that means that whoever that retreat coordinator is not trying to do everything, you know, with no time to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
So I make a motion that we amend it from 8 weeks to 1 year. Do I have a second?
I second. I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Okay. And I make a motion that on Section D, we change it to members who are required to attend and who are parents will be reimbursed for child care expenses from general members. From general members who are parents will be reimbursed. Do I have a second?
Well, why you had an and in there? And who are parents? Well, it couldn't just be who are parents.
Because we're speaking of members who are required to attend. And the
parents.
And, because you might have members who are required to attend that what are not parents.
Right.
So the and is saying and who are parents. And the child care just sort of explains itself. They wouldn't be paying for child care for the, what, teenagers?
Right.
You don't put your teenagers in child care.
Right.
So that's what the and is for. So I make a motion that we adopt that as written.
I second. I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Okay. So we're not tabling 10-8-D. We did modify it.
10-8. Right.
Okay. And we modified 10-8-E also. From 8 weeks to 1 year.
1 year.
And well, we got about 27 minutes left. All right, let's go ahead and do 10-09. Accessibility for all to attend meetings and social functions. YFCC will reimburse members who have accessibility issues, meaning physical disabilities, mental disabilities, or severe illness, for the cost of transportation to and from YFCC meetings and social functions. Okay. So we're saying we will reimburse them for their, what, transportation costs?
Accessibility issue.
Yeah, that, like if they need a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're crippled, they need a wheelchair. So they need a special vehicle to what? To get to the event.
Oh, okay.
So they might need a wheelchair accessible, what, van or something like that,
mm-hmm.
if they don't have their own. If we are, I can't see, well, I would say in the future, I can't say starting off. But I would say in the future, since we will be buying vehicles for the community, at some point I see us doing that. Whether it's buses or vans or whatever, that we would not make them, what, wheelchair accessible from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Physical disabilities, mental disabilities. Now, we might have to discuss that and see how that looks. Because, you know, mental disability can mean just about anything.
Right.
Right.
Severe illnesses.
Right. You know, they could be on a what? On a on one of those
a respirator.
Respirator. That's exactly what I was thinking about. So, and they probably wouldn't even be wanting to attend a meeting.
Right.
If they're on a respirator, but we may have to look at this. We might have to put another stipulation in this because it may be It may just be something we can't do. Or we may have to say, okay, you know, even in the community, if we have somebody, I mean, we get to the point where we have somebody on a respirator or who is severely, has a severe illness, you know, anybody can get sick in any minute.
Right.
So I'm not trying to be discriminatory in that way. Because as we get older, it's going to happen. And it can happen even before that. So we know as we get older, if you got your health, then you are very blessed.
Right.
If you got your complete health. But we typically, we all have something wrong with us the older we get. It's the way the body works. But when we say mental disability, that can be anywhere from mild retardation to, you know, the axe murderer. Mental disability, anytime that we, it's one thing after they are what, have been living with us.
Right.
It's another thing if we allow them to come that way.
Right.
And we have to, you know, we really have to say whether we're going to, what we will allow and what we won't allow. Because you got to have the facilities to
okay,
to address those needs. Yeah, to
accommodate.
Right. So, if let's say that, again, I don't see this starting off. I can see it maybe in the future, provided we have the money to do it and to put in, you know, we got to put in the accommodation for somebody who has a severe illness. And I think that the severe illness would be, you know, they have been living in the community and they come down with it. Then, you know, we can't say we're going to kick you out of the community because you got ill.
Right.
We have to come up with a way to learn to take care, you know, care for them and really care for them, you know, not just say, here, sister, you watch after this one. They don't have no knowledge of how to do it. And not equipped to do it. So I'm just sort of mulling it over in my mind, speaking out loud with us so that we can at least we know what we should be thinking about. Yeah, let's table this 10-9A for the moment. Because living remotely may not even be available to some people. It would have to be an extreme emergency like we know. It's a matter of life and death, and it's a matter of what, not taking the mark of the beast or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we would not want to turn them away. You know, we would have to just do the best we could.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, even with family members, if, you know, we don't typically plan for a family member to come up with a severe illness.
Right.
Yeah.
And when it happens, then we just sort of want to adjust. If we're going to take care of them, we adjust and do what we have to do.
Yeah.
I think we would be in the same boat here. Let's just make an example. We do this, and then brother comes down with dementia or comes down with Alzheimer's, and they're not remembering where they're at or what they're doing. We don't want to, you know, it would not be my desire that we say, hey, we're just going to kick you out. We would have to, you know, take responsibility and say, hey, we're gonna watch over our brother or our sister.
Right, yeah.
Because what
that could be considered as a mental issue, right?
Right. That would be a mental disability. I mean, if you're walking
right.
around, people get Alzheimer's to the point that they don't even remember to eat.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of stuff. And so, you know, we wouldn't want to say, well, you got Alzheimer's and nobody don't want to take care of you. That doesn't, to me, that doesn't show very much love.
No, not at all.
So, but again, it's one thing, you know, the person has been with us and living with us and they come down with that, you know, with that condition. Another thing altogether, they got it already and we're talking about taking them on. Because they already got the condition.
Right.
Either way, if we had the ability to accommodate them, then we might take them in with that condition and say, you know, we have a staff, we have people who we are going to dedicate to doing this. And they've dedicated themselves or volunteered that, hey, I want to work with, you know, the people who are mentally disabled. And then we'd have to make sure that they know what they're doing and that they know how to handle the situation and what have you. But at the same token, you know, if we weren't saying we weren't going to, if you're already in this condition, we're not taking you. But if you are a brother or a sister and you came down with this and you've been living with us, you're already in the community and you come down with this, then I feel we are obligated to come up with ways to take care of them.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that, but that's where I'm at with that.
That's where I feel also.
Right, what about you, Sister Mary?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. I just feel like we wouldn't be showing love at all. You know, if one of you sisters, you know, y'all forbid, you thrown yourself into this and you are, you know, been participating, you're doing, and then you come down with some mental illness, and then we say, no, we're just going to cast you into the street. We're going to send you back to your family.
No.
That doesn't work for me. Again, we can table it for now and come back and make a decision as a group. I do know, you know, where I sit, like I said, you guys said you said the same thing. If they are a part of the group and they come down with that, then I feel we're obligated. And not,
I feel we're obligated to take care of them as well.
Yeah, from a position of love, you know, with loving kindness. And we just have to do what we have to do. But where I think that the discussion would have to come in is if somebody already was in that condition, would we take on that responsibility up front? And the only way I see that we would do that, not saying that we couldn't do it, but we'd have to have the resources in body and equipment to be able to handle that.
Right.
You know, so.
So for now, we're going to table this.
Yeah, I think we should table it and come back to it and make the decision. Because either we have it written into the bylaws or the policy that if you are already suffering from or receiving medical help for some type of psychological or mental illness that's going to require special care, then we may not be able to take you on, or we will take you on under these circumstances, whatever the case may be. It needs to be discussed as very real to happen. And we need to have at least a plan of how we plan to what handle it.
Handle it, right.
And so yeah, we'll table that one for right now. Okay, and this is meetings and social functions. Member must submit data receipts to an officer or staff in order to be reimbursed. So table that one right now too, because until we decide whether, you know, whether we're going to, I see the way we're set up right now, we'd be paying for all that anyway, so they wouldn't have to submit those receipts. We would, you know, we would pay for them up front or as they occur in the event. Members are encouraged to use public transportation, union cab, or other progressive transportation options. Again, this is written as such that the meetings are being held someplace other than the local place where we live. I don't see that happening. I don't see where it would make sense to, you know, to have, we're not going to have, you know, only way I can see that happening is if we open up more than one community. So let's say we have a Yesteron Farms, Northern Arizona, we have a Yesteron Farms, Northern Texas, we have a Yesteron Farms, Colorado, something like that. And then we can, we either, everybody either travels to one of those locations or we say, okay, everybody's going to meet in the middle. And whatever the hotel is, you know, that kind of stuff, then we'll pay for that. But I really don't see right away. But if we all open up, you know, more than one location, then and really this is designed for people who are in the same city or the same location. You got different houses, so you might have the meeting again. If the houses are geographically separated within the same city, then people may have transportation costs to get to a meeting. So let's say that we have Yesteron Farms north, south, east, and west, and but they are, let's say, 10 miles all apart, and people are have to get to a meeting, then they might have to take, what, public transportation?
Right.
To get there. And again, I really don't see us not providing transportation, because if we open up, you know, my goal is community. We would have communal transportation, whether it's a van or something like that, a bus, especially as we got larger. And so if we were going to go somewhere, then we would all go, what, in the van or van?
Same.
Right.
Yeah.
I really don't see where, if at all possible, where we would require our own transportation, but we may need that in the beginning until we got there. So we'll table this one as well. Let's see, D, for YFCC 1999-2000 budget year, costs associated with this proposal will be considered as a miscellaneous expense line item. However, in future budget years, YFCC will create its very own budget line item. Okay, we can actually scratch this one. We can actually, I think we can water this one down or shrink it down to, we can make this one say for costs associated with this proposal will be considered So from the very beginning, we can just say for costs associated with this proposal. Okay. For costs associated with this proposal, YFCC will create budget line items. That just means that rather than putting any expenses under the budget as miscellaneous, we say specifically what they're what for. So we can do that what from the very beginning.
Right.
So whatever it is, whether it's for transportation, if we're going to do that, or whether it's for hotel rooms, or whether it's for the conference room, you know, if we're having it off site. We'll create a budget line item for that and what the cost is or projected cost is rather than saying miscellaneous, so we don't know what was up under there.
Right.
Because miscellaneous. You don't know.
Right.
It's for small budget items, but if we were paying for transportation, then we would just put a line item in there for what transportation. If we were paying for special needs that in there. So we can rewrite D to say it just like it is right. I think that for B, where we said we're gonna table that.
Mm-hmm. What
D? For B. D we changed to read as it is right now. I don't know if you can see that.
We tabled A, B, and C. A, B, and C table.
Okay, I want to go back to B. Yeah, I want to go back to B. Because I think that no matter what, typically if we were going to do this, we would be giving people some type of card that they could use. And then they would have to, I don't know if they would have to give us a receipt. I would encourage them to keep the receipt because we could always get it from the what? If it was a credit card, then we could always get it from the credit card report.
Credit card report, all right.
So, and we can use that, we can use the credit card report to bump against what people are submitting.
Mm-hmm.
To see if, you know, if there was some reporting everything or if they charge them and then report it or whatever. Because we'd reconcile the credit card. So let's say that we issue the officers credit card to cover expenses.
Right, and that way they won't get no reimbursement.
Right, they wouldn't get a reimbursement. They'd charge it on the credit card. And we would tell them to submit receipts with everything. But that's just for bookkeeping. So that we could wait until, you know, whether if we wanted to know immediately what was spent, this is what they say they spent, or we could wait till we got the report and say, okay, this is what was spent on this credit card for this whatever. So we might just leave B alone. It'll be useful.
Yeah.
We may leave B alone. We modified D. We'll table A and C.
Okay.
I think B is useful. And I think that we would give, you know, just have to make sure that we had a way of controlling the credit card.
Right.
And if there were charges that were over a certain amount, they would have to be approved. We can let the bank know or whoever, hey, you need to call whoever to get a pre-approval on this before you allow that charge.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So in case they lose it or anything, then
somebody else could use it. Or they could go crazy and be charging a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, we would have it where they would have to call, let's say, the central office or whatever, wherever they're trying to charge at, and then that approval for that charge would have to be gotten, you know, before we would allow it to go through. if it was something that was over a certain amount.
Over, oh, well, right.
Okay, so we still got to come back to 10-9 because we got A and C to deal with. So we won't vote on that one. Let's see, we're at 7:57. Section 10.2. Something wrong here. In two here, ten eight, ten nine, ten ten. This shouldn't be section 10.2 again.
This should be 11.
10.11, yeah. Yeah, this should be 10.11. Right here.
10.2 should be 10.11.
Don't say it like that because we got a 10.2 already.
Okay.
But we got a second 10.2 and a second 10.3 and a second 10.4.
All right.
So just say the second 10.2 is being renumbered to 10.11. And the second 10.3 will be 10.12. And the second 10.4 will be 10.13. Yeah, we already got a 10.2, 3, and 4. And then it started over again at 10.2, 3, and 4. And it should be 10.11, 10.12, and 10.13. Does that make sense to you, Sister Mary?
Okay.
Yeah, just say the second 10.2, the second 10.3, and the second 10.4 are being renumbered. Because we look at it again, we won't even know there was a second one because it's already renumbered.
Right.
So the second 10.2 is changed to 10.11.
Correct. And the second 10.3 is changed to 10.12.
That's correct.
And what?
The second
10.4.
Second 10.4 is changed to 10.13.
Okay.
So we'll know that these were labeled when we reach them, 10.11, 12, and 13. We'll know that. By the notes, by your notes, they were a what, 2, 3, and 4?
Right.
But they were a misnumbered 2, 3, and 4, so we changed them to 10.11, 12, and 13.
Go
down. You have to write all that down.
Huh?
You don't have to write all that down. You already got what you needed for your notes.
Oh, okay.
You already got, you don't have to write what I just said down. So that's covered in when you said, when you're identifying 10 dot, the second 10.2 is what, 10.11?
Right.
And the second 10.3 is 10.12, and the second 10.4 is 10.13. Yeah. That's all you need in your notes.
Okay, that's what I got.
Okay. Yeah, the rest of that, that's just me running my mouth. You don't need to put that in there.
Oh.
All right. So I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting for this session, and we pick it up at 10.11.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned, and Sister Mary, if you will pray us out for this session.
Father God, thank you for allowing us to have another productive meeting. You're making our situation of what we're trying to do come full force. Thank you so much. I thank you for Brother Miles, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, Brother Gary, and anyone else that's in this ministry. Keep us strong. Keep us with the, keep us with our faith in you. And be this precious.
Amen. All right, so let me save this document. Let me say this, Angel. We will meet again on next Thursday, which will be the 29th. Tomorrow is the new moon service.
Yay.
So make sure you have your stuff.
Well,
it's a great news. Amen. And
it is snowing in Tennessee.
It is?
Is it? Yes, it is.
It's supposed to be like.
Well, we got our 12 inches, so stop.
We got 12 inches today, too.
And I had to shovel.
I was shoveling today, too. But
no.
Sunshine.
Oh.
I didn't like that, huh? Oh. All right. So, yeah, I feel for y'all because I know it's supposed to be like in northern Alabama, it's supposed to be like -8.
It's -30 here.
Oh. We're looking at negative nothing. I don't want to think about no negative nothing either.
-30.
Yeah.
I had to turn on to keep the water on so the pipes won't freeze.
Right. Heck, y'all are almost 80 degrees colder than we are. Degrees cold. For Alabama to get down to -8, I know y'all got to be cold. And it's got to be cold where you at, Sister Mary. Probably with wind chill and everything else too. I ain't trying to feel it.
Yes, I'm gonna send some of the snow up to your way, Brother Miles.
It ain't gonna never make it here. I'm gonna rebuke that now. So you send it all you want to. By the time it gets here, it's gonna be melted.
It's gonna be melted.
Yep. We're rebuking that in the name of Jesus. For real. For it to be 56 degrees right now is it's about normal for here this time of year. I think the low will be in the, it's been in the 30s. Not freezing though. High 30s. So I thought I had to get up last night because I thought I turned on the AC in the room on the plant. Turned on, but I was only calling myself to turn on the fan to keep, you know, to keep a breeze going across it so you don't get mold.
Mm-hmm.
But it was already cold. So when I came out there, it was like really cold. And I hope these plants haven't dropped because I put cold air on them.
Oh, right.
And so I unzipped the room, the grow room, and looked in there. They were all doing good. The plants that were, I was trying to get to come back up where the fan had dried them out. They had started to stand back up and everything, so I was happy with that. Then I turned that AC completely off. I got to go out there and take a look at it because I want to put the fan on low. But put it like on maybe 70 degrees, just so that it's it's not hot, but it's not cold.
Oh, right.
And the room will get whatever the temperature is outside. So if it gets down to 38, the room will be 38, but inside the grow room, the temperature will be in the 70s.
Okay.
So I got to go out there and take a look at that. I turned it off because I didn't want to freeze them. And I think I have some, I might just get up and do it in the morning. Have a couple of trays, harvest trays of where what I do is when I harvest sunflowers, the seeds don't all germinate at the same time. I will continue to water them after I harvest, and the other seeds will germinate and they'll grow, and I'll get a new set of microgreens. Still the same seeds, but just seeds that didn't germinate the first time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so then I harvest them, and I think like last time I got maybe a half a pound that way. So I got two trays that have been growing like that. I will harvest the new growth off. I'll look and see if it seems like there's any more seeds that may germinate, or I just may go ahead and just throw them in the compost pile. But I got I got four trays of sunflowers. They're just not ready yet. I have to put them on blackout probably for 2 days, which is it definitely won't be ready for the market tomorrow. So they'll be ready for the market next week. But I got like four trays of everything else, broccoli and all that kind of stuff, that they're not ready for the market tomorrow. They won't be ready for the market till next week. But trying to get that growth cycle to where they should have been ready for today. They're I think I'm 3 days behind. If this was 3 days earlier, then yeah, I could harvest them.
Are they gonna have the market open on Sunday?
I gotta look and see if there's a market. Sunday is what, their Christmas?
Yeah.
No, they won't have a market on Sunday. There won't be one on Sunday. They're doing one tomorrow, which is going to be the 23rd, and then they'll do one on the 30th of December.
Oh, okay.
Those are already scheduled. So I will have stuff that I can sell at the market next week. I got some things that they are a couple of days old or from the last market. They're still good. I've been eating them myself, and I just kept them in the cooler, and they have kept well. They look just like I cut them yesterday.
Okay.
So they're looking good. They're not turning brown or wilting or turning soft or anything like that. They look just like they were just cut. Because the room is cool, so the cooler doesn't have to try to keep the heat out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's keeping them cool. I threw away some today that were actually coming up on 2 weeks old, so I knew that they were going to be ready. They were ripe. So I just threw them away. But the other ones that I had for the last market feel good. And so I will take them and probably just, if they're the big pack and they're looking like they look now, then I'll probably still sell them.
Right.
But if they're, if they look anything like they are aged or anything, then I would probably just give them away or eat them myself, because I'm going to go out here and look and see what I got. I think I got something in the refrigerator. I try to do at least two smoothies a day.
Okay.
Of the microgreens, because it keeps me from having pain in my hip. So it works for me.
Right.
So I'm, I personally do them myself. I took my father-in-law some over to his place. But I know for sure if I'm going to sell anything tomorrow, it will be sprouts and not microgreens. Because I have sprouts that are ready, to be harvested. And so I will... I think I'm just going to take the containers. I'm going to print off the labels. And I will probably sell them in 2 ounce increments. So just 2 ounces of $7, something like that. And people will buy them. I'll probably do that. And but package them there on site. That way if people say, oh, yeah, I'm getting them. I know they're fresh, but I see them coming right out of a jar.
Right.
That they were, And I think what I'll do is I will water them one last time tonight and take the lid off, because the dead seeds that didn't sprout will float to the top.
Okay.
And just skim those off so that, you know, I'm not really having to deal with them tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I pull them out to package them, I won't be dealing with a whole bunch of, you know, seeds. I'll just fill the container up with water, let those float to the top, skim them off, and put the top back on. And then just take the, you know, let them dry out overnight and take the jar with me to the market. So I know I got broccoli sprouts that way. I have fennel greek. I have cabbage that are sprouts that I can, you know, sell. And I will leave the salad mix because they're starting to sprout, but they're mainly in seed form still. You know, you can see sprouts in there, small ones where they're starting, but they're not sprouting like in 4 days like they should.
Oh.
So, I mean, I'm gonna keep these right here because I want to see how long it actually takes them to sprout.
Mm-hmm.
So that may just be the time that it takes them to sprout, you know, and I've been, you know, unrealistic with those particular seeds. So I'll see. But I just developed the system. I think I got to buy, I had 10 jars. I bought another 10. I ordered another 10 so that I can have alternate each week. So it's going to take 9 jars to do each, to be ready for each market each week.
Okay.
So 3 jars, you know, if I do 3 or 4 microgreens for Friday market, then I would need another 3 or 4 jars for Sunday's market, and another 3 or 4 jars for Wednesday's market.
Right.
And so I just, you know, I did those jars, labeled them, and said, okay, for Friday's market, then I need to put seeds in there and do this on this day. So I know on Friday I'm going to start seeds in jars, and they should be ready for the following, let's say, Wednesday. That type of thing. So I set that system up. So yesterday I put, you know, some broccoli and a couple of others in jars for next week. So they're going to be ready for next week, but I got ones ready for tomorrow. I'm not going to do anything Sunday. And then with those, with the sprouts, unfortunately, whatever I don't sell, I'll probably just package up and give to half to my father-in-law, half to myself,
okay,
you know, to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So that they get, you know, they're just not wasted. So the sprouts will go, they don't last as long if they're containerized, they don't last as long. Or what I could do is bring them back from the market and freeze them. So put them in a container and freeze them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will, you know, they would last. You just have to unthaw them before, you know, you're ready to use them. But the drier that you keep these, like I have some that were 12 days old, as long as they're dry, they'll last. You know, they won't start, you know, because they're inside that pack. They, as long as they don't sweat or get any water on them, then they won't start to rot out real quick. But once they start to sweat, if you don't soak that water up, they'll start to wilt and that kind of stuff. But anyway, I won't hold your sisters up anymore. I hope that y'all don't have to shovel any snow.
I already did my shoveling. I hope I don't have to shovel no more.
Amen. I hope you don't have to shovel no more either. That you don't have to get out there and fight with that hawk.
Right.
And neither, Sister Mary, even though I know you're with your niece, her husband probably do all that for you now.
Yeah.
So. Well, I pray you don't have to look out the window and see him shovel.
I won't even look out the window, I promise.
Amen. Amen. All right. So, love you, sisters, and I will see you guys on tomorrow for New Moon Service.
All right.
right. Love you too.
Love you too, Brother Mal.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Credit card number. It's Capital One in your wallet.